Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, August 10th, 2011. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. AP reports Bureau of Indian Affairs broke their word to Shoshone Paiute tribe on land transfer. Spokane Assistant Police Chief changed his version of how police attacked Otto Zem in 2006, leading to Zem's death. Moscow plans to use onboard computers and garbage trucks to save $120,000 a year. And former Palouse Ranger District employees plan on giving a tour to the media and lawmakers, showing off what would be lost if the Palouse Ranger District acreage was traded in land exchange. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Associated Press reports the Bureau of Indian Affairs broke its word to the Shoshone Paiute tribes when they told a federal administrative judge to reverse his ruling that approved the transfer of a 26-acre parcel east of Boise to the tribes. The Shoshone Paiute are headquartered on the isolated Duck Valley Indian Reservation that straddles the Idaho-Nevada border in the Owyhee Desert. They arranged with the BIA to approve the parcel along Interstate 84 so they could boost the tribal economy by using it for gaming, agriculture, or light manufacturing. Documents obtained by the Associated Press show Bureau of Indian Affairs Regional Director Stanley Speaks in Portland approved the transfer last year, but in March, BIA attorneys told Department of Interior Chief Administrative Law Judge Earl Waits to reverse the order. The BIA attorney told Waits the transfer violated federal law. Shoshone Paiute attorney Keith Harper wrote a letter to BIA Director Larry Echohawk saying, quote, "It is precisely this kind of abusive conduct in this case, informing a tribe they own certain lands and then purporting to reverse the decision, that has all too often been the hallmark of relations between the Bureau and Indian tribes." Echohawk's son, Paul Echohawk, is representing tribal family members who want the property transferred to the tribes. Shoshone Paiute Tribal Chair Terry Gibson said he's angry because of the reversal and because the 26 acres are part of vast tracts in southern Idaho stolen from the tribes by the U.S. government during the Bannock War of 1877. Gibson said, "It is precisely this kind of The Idaho State Board of Education has announced the time and place for the Moscow public hearing on the board plan to require high school students pass two or more online courses in order to graduate. The hearing will be held next Tuesday from 4 to 8 p.m. in the University of Idaho Student Union Building Ballroom. The hearing is one of seven scheduled around the state. The board will also hold a hearing on the plan Monday in Coeur d'Alene at North Idaho College's Meyer Heath Building, room 102, also from 4 to 8 p.m. The online course requirements are part of Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna's education overhaul plan that was passed by the legislature this year when Luna was advocating eight online courses as a graduation requirement. It was the only part of the overhaul plan that received widespread opposition from majority Republican lawmakers. Lawmakers eventually passed a law allowing the State Board of Education to set the number of online course requirements. Board members have said they would advocate two courses, with one classified as an asynchronous course, which means the teacher would not be in the classroom with students during instructional periods. The Twin Falls Times-News reports sales of hunting licenses for Idaho's second wolf hunting season in 3 years are slower than the number of tags sold during the 2009 to 2010 season. That year, 30,000 wolf tags were sold. As of yesterday, only 4,717 resident wolf tags have been sold, and only 175 out-of-state resident tags have been sold. The state wolf hunting season is scheduled to open Wednesday, August 30th. A 55-year-old Navy veteran running for Kennewick, Washington City Council has stated during a radio interview that he would put forward an ordinance that would ban illegal immigrants from the city and give them 30 days to leave. Lauren Nichols said in the interview, illegal aliens, quote, should be shot at the border. That's how much I value America. Nichols also said he would turn Kennewick into an English language only community. The FBI and Internal Revenue Service agents raided the office and home of Portland City parking manager Ellis K. McCoy this morning to investigate McCoy's relationship with George Levy of Tampa, who is currently president and CEO of Kale Parking Systems USA Incorporated. Kale Parking Systems has a contract with the City of Portland to supply smart meters, which are multi-space parking meters. McCoy has held the head city parking job since 2001. The parking department conducted an internal investigation in 2008 after some workers in the parking office alleged there were kickbacks given for city contracts. Court documents released Friday show Spokane Assistant Police Chief Jim Nix is prepared to testify in the trial of a fellow police officer that detectives did not analyze surveillance video of the beating that led to the death of disabled 36-year-old janitor Otto Zem in 2006. The documents say major crimes detectives should have compared the video to statements made by the officer on trial, Carl Thompson Jr. Thompson was the first to confront Zem during the altercation. Nix, who was acting police chief at the time of the incident, also is expected to testify in the trial that detectives did not follow up on an ambulance crew report that said Thompson struck Zem in the head with a baton. Nix will also testify his review of the videotape from a Division Street Zip Trip convenience store shows Officer Thompson violated several police department policies and used unjustified force against Zem, who was retreating down a store aisle. Nix said in grand jury transcripts that Thompson made unauthorized use of a taser against Zem, who had appeared to have stopped resisting. Zem went into a coma and died 2 days after being beaten, tasered repeatedly, and hogtied and laid on his stomach by Spokane police, who had received an erroneous report that Zem had been trying to take money that didn't belong to him from a nearby ATM. Police also covered Zem's face with a non-rebreather mask that should have been hooked up to an oxygen tank if used. They borrowed the mask from an ambulance crew who arrived on the scene. Thompson is facing federal criminal charges of using unreasonable force and lying to investigators, and Thompson and the City of Spokane are defendants in a $2.9 million lawsuit by Otto Zem's family. City officials yesterday for the first time acknowledged discrepancies between Nick's earlier public statements and his grand jury admissions. Attorney Breanne Beggs, who is one of the attorneys representing Zem's mother and his estate, said Nick's statements in the criminal case's grand jury transcript means the civil case is essentially over. Beggs told the Spokesman Review, Nix speaks for the city. The only remaining thing left for the civil case is the nature and the extent of the damages. Beggs said city officials either already knew or should have known about Nix's testimony to the grand jury when they responded to the lawsuit in writing in 2009. At the time, the city response to the suit was, quote, any injury or damage suffered by Mr. Zem was caused solely by reason of his conduct and willful resistance. Beggs said this week, I'm waiting for them to explain to us why they thought it was better not to reveal what they knew about the case from the beginning. All this information is going to come out, so why not get out get it out so the public has all the facts and so the case can be resolved. Mayor Mary Werner issued a statement yesterday saying, "Ultimately, we too are seeking an outcome that is just and fair based on all the evidence and circumstances. The city of Spokane and I are committed to open and transparent government, and this is part of the process. Our employees must tell the truth as they see it." That statement came the day after Werner told the Spokesman Review she had not read Nick's grand jury declaration. No people were injured in a three-alarm Spokane blaze today that destroyed a 23-unit apartment building at North Division and East Magnesium Road. 22 of the units at the Peter Square Apartments were destroyed. At least 22 of the units at the Peter Square Apartments were occupied. At least one cat died in the blaze. The Lewiston Urban Renewal Agency voted 4-1 yesterday to pay $33,000 for a project that would reconstruct Idaho's first territorial Capitol building in the city. The replica of the Capitol would be built at the corner of Capitol and 4th Streets, along with a restored trolley car. The agency won't decide how to use the money until it figures out how to finance the reconstruction of 1st and 5th Streets downtown. Agency Commissioner Bob Tippett voted against the project, saying he didn't think the project would fit into the Urban Renewal Agency's goal of adding to Lewiston employment. Board members A.L. Butch Alford and Daniel Marsh abstained from the vote due to conflicts of interest. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow. Moscow City Solid Waste Manager Tim Davis told the City Public Works Committee Monday that a new computer system has been installed and working in garbage trucks in the city for several weeks. Davis said the program and account system is expected to save the city $120,000 per year. Here, City Supervisor Gary Riedner and Davis described the system to Public Works Committee member Wayne Krause.
We believe there's about $120,000 of use of the system that's not being paid for. The council made the decision back in 1992 or 93 that we would go to a volume-based system, pay as you throw, as it were, and by not accounting for patrons' use of the system, then you have some people paying what they use and some people who are not. So this really is just a step in the right direction to bring that fairness and that accounting for pay-as-you-throw back into perspective. So it really is a good thing at this point. And it is the first step to verify what the system requirements are, the volumes in the system, and then to make decisions, further decisions on the system based upon that information.
On that onboard screen, it will tell that driver what that particular residence is signed up for service. If they're not signed up for a volume service and they're setting out garbage, it'll tag it as an extra and they'll get billed for it.
It's the same system. If it doesn't bear a green tag, then it'll be an overage of their service and they'll be charged for it. So the green tag right now hasn't changed any.
Okay.
If it's tagged with green, then it'll be considered paid for.
And this system will also provide us some valuable data for when I do come in front of you with the cart system to give you different options and directions we may go. This will tell us what's actually out there.
So if they don't tag their cans with a green tag, it's actually going to cost them more.
That's the point I want to make.
Exactly.
Make sure that goes out.
There will be preset settings on that screen for each driver. As he comes to a stop, it will tell him by GPS what the address is. If he's picking it up from the alley, he doesn't have to guess who it is. It'll tell him what they're signed up for, and if they're signed up for one can, there's one can out there, he just picks it up and hits done. If he gets to the next house and they're just paying the base with no volume and there's two cans set out there, they'll be paying $12.40.
That was Moscow Solid Waste Manager Tim Davis and City Supervisor Gary Riedner speaking to the Moscow City Councilmember Wayne Krause at the Public Works Committee Monday. The Washington Department of Social and Health Services accidentally released the addresses of 4,000 custodial parents. The Division of Child Support sent letters to the parents that did not have custody of their children, saying the parents should put their children on their health care insurance. The letters should have had the addresses of the children's custodial parents removed, but they were printed on the letters instead. Division spokesperson Adolfo Carpestani said the mistake was discovered July 20th. Carpestani said the division has established a toll-free hotline for those who are concerned about the risk of identity theft or the possibility of physical or emotional harm to children or their custodians because of the information release. The number at the Division of Child Support Community Relations Unit is 1-800-457-6202. That's 1-800-457-6202. Former Palouse Ranger District employees have invited regional politicians, Forest Service officials, and media members on a day-long field trip to parts of the Clearwater Forest's Palouse Ranger District on Saturday, August 27th, to show what would be lost if a version of the Upper Lhoksaw Land Exchange goes through. Former District Timber Management Officer Blake Ballard told the Lewiston Tribune, "I feel the loss of 8,000 acres without getting any acreage back in exchange would be the beginning of the end of the district." Ballard said the trip is designed to show examples of good forest management on the Palouse District. The Forest Service has proposed trading up to 8,000 acres of Palouse Ranger District land as part of an 18,000-acre package to Western Pacific Timber Company for 40,000 acres of logged over land on the Bitterroot Divide along the Idaho-Montana border. The Forest Service says it wants to consolidate land ownership and important habitat in the checkerboarded land along the Bitterroot Divide. An alternate proposal, endorsed by Idaho County officials, would trade Forest Service land exclusively located within the borders of Idaho County to Western Pacific Timber, so the county wouldn't lose private land from the county's property tax base. Federal land cannot be taxed by counties. However, the Idaho County proposal would require an act of Congress changing the requirement that exchanges must be value for value instead of acre for acre. Ballard says so far, Republican Representative Tom Trail of Moscow has confirmed he'll attend the all-day field trip later this month, and Democratic Representative Shirley Ringo and Democratic Senator Dan Schmidt have expressed interest. Ballard says any disposal of 8,000 or more Palouse Ranger District acres would be devastating to those who use the land for hunting, fishing, camping, and other recreational activities. He said the Palouse Ranger District is the closest ranger district to 100,000 people in Latah and other nearby counties. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. Clear skies all the way through the weekend and into next week. Tonight's low will be 50. Tomorrow's high 76, 84 Friday, 88 Saturday, 80 on Sunday, and 75 on Monday. Lows throughout the period around 50 degrees. Currently fair skies 76 degrees in Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Remember, if you want to help KRFP keep news reports like this on the air, plus the news reports you hear during Morning Mix and the public affairs and recordings of local events you hear on Radio Free Moscow, plus the arts and music programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow on the air, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $25 for students. You can become a member by sending your annual membership to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, 83843. Or you can look it up online, how to give. I'm Lee Robartis. Coming up next, the weekly labor report from Pacifica Radio Building Bridges, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine, also from Pacifica Radio. And at 7:30, we will have jazz music with Alan Solon. right here on KRFP Moscow.